Well, today I want to share with you from Psalm 133. Those of you that were there for Wednesday night Bible study, I suggested to you that maybe you could memorize this by Sunday. And I know some of you probably said, oh wow, a whole psalm. This psalm's only three verses. It's one of the shorter psalms in the book of Psalms. And it is one that speaks greatly about a topic that we need to keep on our minds all the time. Listen to these words. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live in unity. It's like precious oil poured down on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Some beautiful images. And I want to, as we talk about this, explain to you the images that are here about unity and about what this means. Because this psalm, even though it's short, speaks volumes about the unity in the community of faith. It speaks volumes about unity in the community of faith. Unity is one of those things that we need not just as a community here, but unity is also one of those things that we need across all denominations of all churches. Because, folks, we're here trying to do the same thing. We're not in competition with other churches to try to gain more members and have bigger programs. It's about unity and how we can support one another. One of the things that I talk with young couples about prior to their wedding is I talk to them about unity in a unique way, in that I talk to them about, do you have strengths where this person has weaknesses? And do you have strengths where this person has weaknesses? It's in that coming together and supporting and encouraging one another. Without my wife, I wouldn't know how to save money. You put money in my pocket, that means money needs to be spent. That's what it's in my pocket for. It's not for just carrying around for weeks on end. It means it needs to be spent. And I'll be happy to tell you that I got married. One of the reasons I got married, not the major reason, was to get out of debt. My credit card was maxed to the limit. Now, 34 years ago, maxed to the limit was $500. Not like it is today. My wife has some strengths in those areas, and there are unity together. We've been able to support each other and grow in our marriage, and that's the same kind of thing that we should be doing in the community of faith. Supporting one another with our strengths where other people have weaknesses, and allow other people's strengths to support us and encourage us. Because you see, unity brings a community of fulfillment which knows and experiences the blessings of God. Unity brings a community of fulfillment which knows and experiences the blessings of God. Sometimes I'm not able to see where God's blessings are. Maybe it's because of where I'm walking on my path at this current time in my life. Maybe it's because I'm just not able to see those things. But as I walk together in community with other folks, it brings fulfillment to my spiritual walk and to their spiritual walk, because sometimes other people can see things about God and about the blessings that are happening around us that I can't see. Contrary to popular belief, God does not call the pastor every morning and give him a rundown of everybody in the congregation, all the blessings that are flowing, all the graces that we should be looking for. You see, sometimes God doesn't show it to me, but God shows it to you. And it's when you speak it that we as a community then have a fulfillment of what God's doing in our midst. How blessed it is. What does David say here? How blessed it is. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Now, I want you to recognize that unity does not mean that we all think the same things, we all act the same ways, that we all know God in exactly the same way. That's not what unity means. Unity means that we're able to support and encourage one another and lift each other up and bring each other to a new place of understanding God's blessings and what God's sharing in the midst of our community. We as a church should also be people, as a community of faith, reaching out into the midst of our community at large to help them to see the blessings of God. When churches are not in unity, that can be the most destructive thing that can happen for the body of Christ. If we were struggling every week internally, that is destructive. If we as a church begin to struggle with other churches and be in competition and try to outwin members and all of that, that's not going to help the body of Christ. You see, they don't always like to put in the paper good news or on the news good news. I know from my wife working at the newspaper that bad news sells. Do you know when they sell the most newspapers? They sell the most newspapers when the grand jury report is in the newspaper. I guess everybody wants to see if their friends made the newspaper. I don't know. That's when they sell the most newspapers, is when there is the highest percentage of bad news in the newspaper. And that is what our TV news is about most of the time, isn't it? Bad news. We need to be people that are showing some unity amongst ourselves and amongst other churches so that we can help people see God's blessings in the midst of this world. There's only two images in this psalm, and these are incredibly powerful images if you'll take a moment to look at them. The amount of oil is an overabundance. The amount of oil is an overabundance. The dew that falls in the northern kingdom brings growth also in the southern kingdom. Now, I want you to think about this amount of oil. I have oil in my office that from time to time, when people ask me, I will bless them and anoint them with the oil. In our tradition as Baptists, not most Baptists are very comfortable with that, but I have no problem with that. Scripture says, anoint one another. It's done throughout Scripture. It's especially done here as it talks about Aaron, who was the first high priest. But I want you to look at the amount of oil. If I were to anoint somebody with oil, normally I put it on my thumb and put a cross on their forehead, and that's about all the oil they get on them. Look at this, though. It says, this is like oil poured down upon Aaron's head, down over his head and through his beard and onto the collar of his robes. I do remember one pastor sharing one time that he was at another church, and they asked him forward. They knew that he was a pastor, and they said, we want to anoint you since you are a pastor. And he thought that was a great idea. until they brought out this big horn full of oil and poured it over his head, down over his clothes. Now see, we tend to think of that as, oh my gosh. But I want you to see, unity is like that. It is poured over Aaron's head, down through his hair, down through his beard, and onto his clothes. It's an all-encompassing, it's an all-covering thing. It's an overabundance. Is that not the way that God blesses us? How would you prefer to be blessed by God, with just a little cross on your forehead? Or this overabundance that flows down on you, over you, and creates a puddle on the floor? That's what unity is. Now, for the second illustration, you need to know your geography of Israel. If you don't know your geography, this illustration doesn't mean anything. The Mount of Hermon is further in the north in Israel. Zion, Mount Zion, is Jerusalem. It's further to the south. And look at what this says. It's as if the dew that falls on the northern mountain in such an abundance that it brings growth even in the southern part of the nation. I've never seen that kind of dew. I've seen rain like that. In the past couple of days, I've seen pictures of incredible amounts of rain. I saw some pictures that said in Chesterfield County on Saturday they had 5 to 9 inches of rain. That's absolutely incredible. I think I've only caught a couple of inches over the past few days. 5 to 9 inches. And this is talking about just the dew that falls, the freshness in the morning, brings growth even in the southern part of the nation. Unity is a powerful, powerful thing. Can you see that? From the overabundance of oil that flows down over Aaron to just a dew that does so much even so far. Well, there's 5 words that I think can help us understand unity. 5 words. And they're 5 simple words. They're understanding, nurture, involvement, time, and yearning. Understanding, nurture, involvement, time, and yearning. Those of you that like wordplay, look at those words very carefully. Take just the first letter of those words and what do you spell? Unity. You see, we need to have an understanding about other people. We need to understand the path that they walk. That's why it's important that we share our spiritual journeys with one another, because I need to understand the path that you've walked on so that we can have unity. It's not always about sharing about children and weather, and sometimes we need to share about our spiritual journeys. I read a quote by Henry Nouwen last week, and he said that one of the hardest discussions to start, that everybody wants to have, but it's the hardest to start, is a discussion about spiritual things. Deep down, people want to talk about spiritual things, but it is the hardest conversation to start. And Henry said that once it gets started, often it continues on and progresses further and deeper and deeper. Understanding. Nurture is important because sometimes you know something about God that I don't. And you can share that with me, and you can nurture me, and you can help me to gather a better understanding of God and what God wants us to do as a church and as a people. Folks, we've got to nurture one another. Some of you are probably the best prayers that there are. And you need to share with other people on how to pray. Some of you have spent a good deal of time in studying your Bibles, and you need to share with people where to find the treasures in your Scriptures. Some of you know how to speak encouraging words in an incredible way. And sometimes just one or two encouraging words can go a long way for somebody else. We need to nurture one another. We need to be involved. None of this happens without being involved with other people. None of it happens without being involved. In order to have unity amongst ourselves and amongst other churches and amongst the community of faith at large, we need to be involved with one another, and we need to talk with one another about what's going on. It's going to take time. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen because I have one lunch with somebody. It takes much more time than that. It's not just, I spend 30 minutes with you and okay, now I know where you are and now you know where I am and now we can continue on. No, it's something that happens again and again and again. And as all this happens, as this understanding, nurture, involvement, and time happens, there happens to be a yearning within our hearts to want to do that more. One of the greatest things that I know about talking with other people is sometimes they challenge me so much. Whether I agree with them or not. If I happen not to agree with somebody else, why is that? What scriptures do I stand on then? How do I come to believe about God? And why am I there? Why am I at that place? And sometimes people share with me a scripture in a way that I have never seen before. And I have to evaluate where I am. And I have to say, you know what? God has shown you an incredible thing. And we truly can stand in unity together. Because through you, God has helped me to understand. And when that happens for me, at least, I yearn for it oh so much more. Anytime I can gain understanding about God, I yearn for it so much more. I know I've shared with you before about Mason. Wonderful mountain man that I met while I was in college. He was a jack of all trades. He made some of the most beautiful furniture out of chestnut. And I asked him, Mason, where'd you get the chestnut? And he says, I know where there's a whole stand of it, and my barn is full of it. And I said, can you show it to me? And he said, nope. You see, the chestnut has died out here in our country because of the blight. But the wood does not rot. That's one of the great things about chestnut. The trees that died, no matter what size they are, they're still standing. And Mason didn't want anybody to know about it because he didn't want anybody going in there and clearing it all off. Because he enjoyed being able to see it. Mason was illiterate. He couldn't even write his own name. He knew God and he knew Scripture better than I think I ever will. No matter how much more learning, studying I do, Mason knew it better than anyone I've ever met. At the breakfast table, his wife would read him a passage of Scripture. He'd go out and be about his work, and every once in a while come back in and she would read it for him again. He'd go out and work, and this would happen all day. By the end of the day, not only did Mason have that Scripture memorized, by the way, when I met him, I believe he was in his 80s, and he was still doing this, but he had meditated on it all day while he worked, and he knew some things about God that were incredible. Talked to him as much as I could. He was almost deaf. Almost. You had to stand face to face with him, and it felt uncomfortable because you had to yell at him for him to hear you. But you see, Mason knew some things. And it's people like that that we need to interact with so that we can have unity in our community. Because then when we have that unity and other people see that, wow, look at those people and how they understand the blessings and the encouragement and the insight of God. And look at what God is doing through them. You see, what happens is a community of faith filled with unity will bring life to its people and the community around it. A community of faith filled with unity will bring life to its people and the community around it. People will be drawn in by the unity. Look at how they stand with one another. Look at how they come from different ways of life and have walked in different paths. And look at how they come together in unity. And look at how God continues to bless them. Do you see this? Do you see what I'm saying? It's like the oil poured down over Aaron's head and down through his hair and his beard and onto his clothes, and puddled around him on the floor. It's like just the light dew that comes in the north of the country, but yet helps things in the south of the country to grow. Unity is a powerful, powerful thing. It does not mean, I want to remind you once again, uniformity. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean we all look the same, talk the same, act the same. Besides, how boring would that be? We need the interaction with one another, and we need the personalities of one another, and we need how God has worked in each person's heart to bring us all together in such a way that then we can see the blessings of God in enormous ways. And the community around us sees that happening and they say, oh, we want the same thing. We want the same thing. Because the opposite of that is like a family sitting around a table that nobody wants to talk to each other. Ever been at one of those dinners? I know I have. It's as though there's something sitting on the table that needs to be talked about, but nobody wants to talk about it. And sometimes it's as big as an elephant. And instead of talking about it, can you pass the potatoes, please? I'm just going to look around the elephant. folks remember. It's about spending time with one another. It's about encouraging one another. It's about lifting each other up. And it has enormous blessings, not only for our community of faith, but for every church in this town and for our community at large, which God has asked us to talk to about Jesus Christ. So I want to leave you with this question. How will you step this week? How will you step this week to increase unity in our community of faith? I'll admit to you, we got to be a little bit more creative than we've been in the past. Because of what's going on with the coronavirus, we got to be a little bit more creative. We got to think outside the box. You know, folks, we're live on Facebook right now. Who knows who around the world is going to watch what we've done today for the worship service? Do you realize that? Somebody on the far side of this world could watch our worship service today and maybe be touched by God. It's not just us anymore. We got to think outside the box. How will you be creative this week to increase unity in our community of faith? How will you? Let us pray. Lord, we're in a place in our world right now that it's just so difficult. It's difficult to do things the way we have done them before. Whether because people have concerns about gathering together because of the coronavirus. Whether for any number of reasons. But Lord, I want to pray that you would give us your wisdom, your insight, your incredible understanding to know how we might be more creative in bringing about unity in a community that can't always meet together. To bring about unity in a community that may meet across the internet. Lord, you've brought us into a dynamic time when our church, as a community of faith, can have a far-reaching effect, not just in our own community here of Withville, but around this world. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be people that could support one another, encourage one another, lift each other up, so that people around the world might see the unity that we have and the incredible experience of being with you that we have, so that they too might desire Jesus Christ as their Savior. Experiencing eternal life now and for all eternity, and also coming to know that they do have salvation. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.